This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. When the NCR plant closed in Viroqua in 2009, 80 people lost their jobs with the cash register maker. Plant closings are never good news in a small community. But 3 years later, people have returned and are now working at the site, which is now the Food Enterprise Center. It's a place where small business startups with a food or wellness component can share a space and supplies. The idea behind the Food Enterprise Center and other business ideas come from the Vernon Economic Development Association, or VEDA, based in Westby. It's already won several small business awards and has been recognized by the Obama administration for the work it's doing. La Crosse County UW Extension Director Mary Meehan Strube recently talked with VEDA Executive Director Sue Noble about her organization's mission.
Well, we are a nonprofit 501c3 organization organized to provide business assistance to startup businesses or expansions or recruiting companies that want to come to the region. We provide assistance to them in the form of resource and referral. I also do one-on-one business counseling with folks who have an idea about a business. I help them think through their idea, see what kinds of things they need, and refer them to resources. We do business planning. I also provide educational forums, classes for businesses in building up their knowledge and skills about how to start or organize or conduct a business. And then also I provide strategic planning for communities in the region or organizations that need some type of planning facilitated. So a lot of facilitation kinds of things. So it really depends on the day and depends on what people need. I try to respond to what they need.
How long has the Economic Development Association been around?
Well, actually, this month we're celebrating our five-year anniversary. I came on board in June of 2007 as the first director and the only staff. So we're a very young organization. Before that, there was a core group of local individuals who recognized the need for a coordinated approach to economic development. So they spent 2 or 3 years planning the organization.
Why is an organization like the Vernon Economic Development Association important to rural development efforts in southwestern Wisconsin?
I think there's a very key role for organizations such as ours to provide access to tools that are not available normally to regular businesses or to ordinary folks. For example, the project that we're doing at the Food Enterprise Center, we're able to access federal grants, state grants. We also are able to coordinate TIF revenues, tapping into partnerships with the city and with the county to work on different kinds of tools and revenues like that that can bring those resources to a project. We also were able to access a Midwest Disaster Area Bond, which took a signature from the governor to be able to move that through. So obviously we're an organization that facilitates getting those kinds of tools and help into our region to help grow businesses and grow the economy. And I also think that there's a real need for that coordinated approach to help create jobs, increase the tax base, and just in general improve the quality of life here in our region.
Now, you mentioned the Food Enterprise Center in Viroqua. Can you describe what that is for us?
Actually, it started out as a challenge for the community back in January of 2009, there was a manufacturing plant in that building called NCR, National Cash Register. It was a global corporation that did printing, and they announced that they were closing the plant and they were moving all 81 jobs to Tennessee. So our community lost 81 jobs, some of the best paying jobs in the county, and also had an empty building sitting there, 100,000 square feet, sitting on 15 acres that would be vacant. So we took up that challenge and saw it as an opportunity to create a resource for businesses to start up or expand. So it is currently a multi-tenant facility. In other words, there can be a number of businesses in there. The only stipulation is that they need to be related to food or wellness because of the federal grant that I wrote for $2 million to help renovate the 40-year-old building. But we currently have 4 tenants in there, so you can see it's starting to work. It's a place, like I say, where those businesses can co-locate and share resources For example, there are 5 docks and restrooms and parking lots that they can all share, conference rooms, those kinds of things, offices that they don't have to each build individually then. So just having that infrastructure of the building, again, is helping businesses develop in the region and create jobs.
So, Sue, is the Food Enterprise Center similar to or like an incubator, a small business-type incubator?
It is, in the fact that it's a place for startups, but it's not, the entire facility is not an incubator. We fully intend that there need to be anchor tenants that can stay there and provide a cash flow to keep the building itself afloat financially, but certainly there is room for businesses to start up, and if they grow and choose to expand later and build another site or move to a larger facility somewhere else, that's a possibility as well. It really depends on what's the best fit for the needs of the business, and that's what we try to address.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Mary Mian Strube, and today I'm talking with Sue Noble, Executive Director for the Vernon Economic Development Association. We're talking about the new Food Enterprise Center located in Viroqua. And now you mentioned the focus of the businesses that are aligned there need to be related to food and or wellness based on the grant. And so food is a big entity in terms of the promotion and push for local foods movements. And so why does the local food movement need support from a place like the Food Enterprise Center?
When I was negotiating with NCR to acquire the building and the property, I knew that there were a large number of businesses in our region that needed support, needed more resources, and a place to grow and expand based on food and agriculture, because that's the strength of our region. It's what we do here. And we had just completed, in partnership with some other organizations in the region, we had completed a community assessment that showed that it was indeed true that there are a large number of businesses related to food that want to grow in the region. I mean, we have the headquarters, the national headquarters for Organic Valley in our county. We have 222 organic farms, 32 CSAs. We do food here. So it's not we're not doing anything weird. We're just supporting the strength of the region, which is agriculture, and building that local food system helps to create jobs and grows the economy, and it also creates a new local food system of keeping food local, so that if we have a national security alert, for example, what would happen if we couldn't get those trucks in from California or Florida to bring in food? What would happen? We really need to be thinking about those kinds of things and finding ways to source food locally and plus keep the dollars here locally and keep them circulating in our communities instead of exporting that money out and that economy out to other regions. Let's keep it here and let's grow the economy here right in our region, support our own local entrepreneurs that are here and like to be here and help them grow. I believe that's the strength of what we're doing. We're actually, I like to say that we're turning the local food movement into action. So it's really food action.
There's Organic Valley that does marketing and promotion and selling for organic producers. And, of course, then we have our more either, I would say, conventional or traditional way that farmers have gotten food to market. Will the Food Enterprise Center do things differently than either of those?
It is different in that it's a place for businesses to actually locate and conduct their business. In other words, it provides the infrastructure. It's more than just marketing. It provides the infrastructure for businesses to aggregate, in other words, bring produce and food in from a number of producers. So it's a place to aggregate and store that produce and food, and then it's a place to ship it back out. It provides a distribution infrastructure because of the docks and the parking lot and all of that that supports the building. So by doing that, we're helping those local producers out there find other new markets to help enhance their business and grow their business in new ways that they couldn't do before. For example, one of our tenants is Keywaden Organics, and they aggregate or bring in food from 60 other producers in the region. And then they pack it, store it, and ship it back out and drive it to markets in Madison, Milwaukee, and Minneapolis. So they're providing that expanded marketability to those smaller producers that couldn't do it on their own. So in a way, that's a little bit similar to Organic Valley. We're providing that opportunity not only for Kuwaitan Organics, but other businesses that can locate in the building and do other things as well.
As you describe that to me, Sue, when I think of a local food movement, you know, I think of buying within your own community. And if I'm understanding correctly, the local food movement, as you're talking about it, enlarges that community to a good portion of the Midwest when, you know, if we are shipping things to Minneapolis and Madison, Milwaukee, Chicago area. Would that be a correct assumption?
Well, our emphasis is here in the region first, but we consider local to be about 150 miles in a radius surrounding Viroqua or surrounding Vernon County. Mm-hmm. So it does, you know, kind of graze out when you get down to Chicago, but we have businesses that take their produce down to high-end restaurants in Chicago and also Minneapolis, the co-op, Wedge Co-op in Minneapolis. There's a number of markets out there. And I think because we do produce so much food in this region, we really are the mecca of food in the state and the region. So we need to find those new markets to help create new opportunities for growers, create those new markets, and then open up opportunities for people who want to get into farming, that are, you know, looking, young people that are looking for a lifestyle that they want to choose. They can choose farming now because of the new markets that we're opening up. Particularly, I'm thinking about the Fifth Season Cooperative that we started 2 years ago. That started because of a Buy Local, Buy Wisconsin grant that our organization acquired. And then I facilitated the startup of that cooperative, and it became its own entity in August of 2010. It has its own board of directors now, and it hired an operations manager a year ago. She's just hired two more people. And that cooperative coordinates moving local food from producers and local processors through distribution markets into institutional cafeterias. For example, Gunderson Lutheran in La Crosse and their clinics, University of La Crosse, Western Technical College, Vernon Memorial, Viroqua Schools, a number of K-12 schools in the region. You can start to see that institutional markets now can, or cafeterias can now access local food through the coordination of Fifth Season, whereas before they couldn't. They didn't have time to meet with 50 growers, and the growers don't have time to meet with those institutions, and the institutions don't want 50 trucks pulling up to their dock. There needs to be that missing link of coordination, that one point of contact that Fifth Season provides. And they have an excellent working relationship with Reinhardt Food Service that provides the distribution at this point, and we'll be reaching out to other distributors as we grow. But because of the partnership with Reinhardt, we're able to access hundreds of buyers out there for local food in institutional markets.
And as you talk about the buyers that are there and having a director for the Fifth Season Co-op, how does she or he pull it all together in terms of where the food sources are coming from?
Well, that's part of her daily work. she builds relationships with producers, the growers that are out there, and then relationships with processors like Westby Co-op Creamery, Organic Valley, Premier Meats. Those are all processors. There's also Lonesome Stone is a processor of grains. So building those relationships with how we access food, and then the relationship with the distributors like Reinhardt, and relationships then with the buyers that really want to access that local food. And I'm convinced that this is going to be successful because it started through conversations that a group of us were having in the summer of 2009 in La Crosse, those institutional buyers that wanted to buy local food, but they didn't know how to get it. And they were saying, we need this one point of contact. And then the Buy Local grant came up. We applied, and it was able to provide some funding for a part-time coordinator. And then we set up an interim board of directors. And when the cooperative was established in August of 10, it started its first board of directors that met every 2 weeks. And it's to develop policy and pricing and planning and how do we make this cooperative work. So there's been a lot of groundwork that's been laid, but it's also very unique in that it's a multi-stakeholder cooperative. All of those pieces along the food chain that I mentioned, producers, processors, distributors, buyers, are all classes of the cooperative versus most cooperatives in the region are consumer cooperatives, like the phone company and the electric company and the feed mill and gas companies. Those are consumer cooperatives. We involve all of them at the table. They're all represented in the board of directors, so they all sit together and work out the pricing and the policy based on their shared values and their shared beliefs. So I'm convinced it's going to work because we are able to work those things out at the table before we actually get out in the field and it becomes a problem that we then need to address. So the communication and the relationship building is really based on values and beliefs is really what is going to make it happen and has been very successful so far. We're in our first season right now of accessing local food and moving it through the system. So we're just beginning to make that happen. But for folks who want to be involved in fifth season but aren't one of those classes like you or me, we could be a part of it by buying an investor share. We set up a Class B stock, which for a minimum of $500, we could invest in fifth season in an equity share and earn a 5% rate of return. So we're asking, though, initially for a five-year commitment of that investment, but that's a way for folks to get some ownership in building this local food system through fifth season, to participate in it without being a member of one of the Class A memberships.
So we've talked about local farmers becoming involved. Can they make more of a profit using the Food Enterprise Center?
Oh, certainly. For example, Key Wade Organics that I mentioned, like I said before, because they then aggregate to with those 60 other producers by helping Key Wade become more successful in helping them build their coordination capacity, we're also helping every one of those 60 producers expand their business capacity and become more viable because there's help for them to grow that they couldn't do on their own. So it's really, a lot of it is this cooperative sense and this cooperative way of working that's so well-grounded in this region. I mean, we have 23 cooperatives in Vernon County alone. We're the land of cooperatives. Mm. When we were at the White House, they said, how many people are from different states? And when they said, how many are from Wisconsin, 15 hands went up. So there's a lot of folks that believe in that cooperative model. It's very common in rural areas because people are used to working together. And that's what I think is one of the neat parts about working in this region. It's that attitude of cooperation and working together. How can we help each other? How can we grow together? How can we grow the economy together? We all take responsibility for that. And we don't just sit back and let somebody else just try to serve us. We really take on seriously that responsibility that we need to do this for ourselves.
What about the numbers? How many farmers and other businesses are making money? I know you've talked about Key Wade and how they've reached out to 60 other types of businesses that they channel their produce and items through them. But farmers, businesses that are involved, and bottom line, what kind of profit can they make?
Well, it all depends on the business, and it depends. It's kind of a hard question to answer. I know it's what people really are interested in, but it depends on the business itself. It depends on how much they participate in finding new markets and being aggressive about that. It really depends on the business itself. It depends on the management. It depends on so many things. I don't think I can really give you an answer to that. But if people are interested in growing their business and becoming more profitable and finding more of those ways to do that. I encourage your listeners to contact me, and we'll see what we can do.
I think of farmers, and especially farmers that produce crops, vegetables, those kinds of things, and the weather, and the impact that they're basically at risk in terms of whatever happens with the weather. It could be a drought, could be a major storm, could be major rain. Mm-hmm. As you are working with this cooperative and with the Economic Development Association, how do you help them plan for that disaster that might happen and impact what they're able to provide for those buyers out there?
I think that goes back to our Food Enterprise Center, helping those farmers, depending on what happens with the weather, and you're right, they're at the mercy of the weather entirely. But there are ways to also be proactive and then find ways to respond to that if a disaster does happen. For example, I'm thinking about utilizing seconds off the fields. Produce that's not the perfect pepper, it's not the perfect cucumber, it's not the perfect shape of a squash, and so forth, to go into the retail market. So what gets left on the field is called seconds, and it just goes to waste or it ends up being compost for the farmer. What we're doing at the Food Enterprise Center is also creating a huge kitchen that will be a resource to the region. Key Waden has a kitchen that's being built for them, and they'll be utilizing that for their growers. But there's another kitchen we're building that's an opportunity for a food entrepreneur that can source food from the region or from the growers in Fifth Season as a tenant in the building. It's a place for a business to start up as a tenant in this kitchen, but can utilize those seconds off the fields and bring them in to the kitchen and make value-added products that then can be shipped out either through Fifth Season or through their other markets that they develop as a business. For example, they could bring in squash and make, you know, a value-added squash soup. They could make tomatoes into a pesto sauce. They could make a variety of vegetables into a soup stock. You name it. It's endless of what people could do as a value-added product if they could partner up with a business that manages the labor force in that kitchen and produces those products. Could private label for a number of food folks in the region, or it could have a number of other arrangements to work with people in the region who have ideas for food recipes. So that's another way that we hope to be able to, like you were asking before, be able to create more profit for folks in food in the region. And I don't mean just produce, but I'm talking about dairy and meat and eggs and grains, and there's some talk about starting seed saving in the region. There's a ton of possibilities all around agriculture, forest agriculture, nuts, those kinds of things. So really thinking out of the box about what is it this region could grow. There are folks talking about growing some of the older heritage grains like amaranth and buckwheat and millet and oats that used to be grown here but now don't seem to have a market anymore. If we could start to develop some products that would utilize those, we could become a place to provide that niche market and begin to market that. Because marketing is all about what is it that you have that's unique and what's your wow factor? How can we make that become more marketable?
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Mary Nguyen Stroob, and today I'm talking with Sue Noble, Executive Director for the Vernon Economic Development Association. We're talking about the new Food Enterprise Center located in Viroqua. At the Food Enterprise Center, as well as with the Vernon Economic Development Association, oftentimes the bottom line is money, and will it be available to continue all the many good works and things that have been implemented and started in the Food Enterprise Center in Viroqua? How do you intend to continue to make money for the Vernon Economic Development Association?
Well, it's a good question because it's what I struggle with every day. As a startup organization, I try to run this as a business. And as you know, the first 5 years are critical for any startup business.
You've passed that now with your anniversary, though, right?
There's still that fine balance between, you know, building enough capacity to do the work, getting enough work done that you can generate the revenue, and having enough, you know, balance in that to make that all happen. And I struggle with that every day because we're funded entirely on memberships or donations or whatever grants I can bring in. We're not, contrary to what some people think, we're not a county department. We're not funded by the county in any way. So, like I say, we are funded entirely on memberships or people that support what we're doing, believe in our work, and are willing to provide some financial resources to help us do that. And our Food Enterprise Center will become just one piece of our financial package. As the building becomes more successful, it will start to generate leases then that can generate some revenue back to our organization. It's not an uncommon model for economic development organizations across the state to own an incubator or some type of real estate that helps businesses grow, but also uses that as a small piece of income for them. So certainly we didn't create this to become rich in any way, but hopefully it will be able to generate some revenue for our organization and be able to pay back some of the resources we're able to provide to businesses then. But that 501c3 status allows people to donate to us and then take that as a tax deduction. So there are a variety of ways that people can get involved in the work that we're doing. I've been able to raise over $300,000 in private investment for match, for grants, or for bridge funding as we've moved along. But we run on a pretty tight budget, very tight budget. We can't afford to bring on more staff. About the only thing I spend money on is my printer and my telephone and my paper. We're really trying to stay tight in our budget and provide that assistance to businesses growing in the region. And I really believe when people learn the value of our organization, they'll support us more, even more. We have well over 150 members right now. So by becoming a member of our organization, they can support us as well. For $25 a year, you can get an individual membership. $100 a year buys a business membership. So, you know, you can spend that in one night out to eat. So if folks want to support us, they can look on my website and see a membership form there, or give me a call and talk about what we do.
So you've talked about working and exploring business opportunities with over 400 different individuals and business partners that are out there. And actually, you've had, I think it's 10 business startups with the Food Enterprise Center. What does it take to make them be successful, and how many of them have been successful?
I like to give them 5 years. So it's a little bit early. I would say the number one criteria for somebody who wants to go into business is passion. Being dedicated to your idea, willing to do whatever it takes to make that happen, and then building relationships with partners who can help you make that happen. Obviously, nobody can do it alone, and no one is an island. So the more you can build relationships, the more you can access resources to help you, the more you reach out to other folks to help you get help, and don't try to do it alone, but then stick at it, follow through, take advice from people, let people mentor you, reach out, and then stick to it and make it happen. Obviously, financials are a big piece of that. Planning is a huge piece of it. Exploring your idea and making sure it's a good idea before you move forward with it. Most people that come in with an idea, by the time they implement it, it's something entirely different. And we help people do that through our Inventors and Entrepreneurs Club meeting that we have monthly. It's the second Wednesday of every month. It's a place where people can come and explore their ideas and connect with other people to support them. Peer support is very key. So a lot of our businesses have started out of that Inventors and Entrepreneurs Club. So if people want to attend that, they can find out more about it on my website as well. But I think there are so many factors that go into it. Support and is key, and just being dedicated to your idea, having a good idea, and doing good planning are all very key.
Sue Noble is Executive Director of the Vernon Economic Development Association, which has assisted small business startups for the last 5 years. VITA is a key player behind Viroqua's Food Enterprise Center, which focuses on food and wellness business startups. Noble was interviewed by La Crosse County UW Extension Director Mary Meehan Stroob. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, what's the environment like for small businesses in Wisconsin? We'll talk with representatives from the U.S. Small Business Administration. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.